Well, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Bill Young, and you're listening to Faith is a Lifestyle. This morning on the radio broadcast, we're continuing a series that I began last week called Charting Your Course. It's important that you understand the will of God for your life. It's important that you understand that God has a divine purpose just for you. You need to be able to get from point A to point B, and point B is the perfect will of God for your life. Amen? Well, before we get into the Word today, I'd like to remind you of a couple things. Number one, you can now find MGCC on the World Wide Web. You can find us online at www.mgcconline.org. Check it out. I think you'll find some valuable information that'll be a blessing to you and your family. The most popular part of the website is what we call our study center. There you can go and listen to the Word 24/7, 365. You can find messages that are current that I've taught. You can also find messages taught in the archives by myself and others. And these messages are all based on the Word of God, and they will edify, bless you, and build your faith. You can listen online. You can burn a CD. You can download them to your iPod or MP3 player. You can listen to a podcast. We don't care. It's all free. The important thing is that you feed your faith on God's Word. We all know what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Man, that's what we're all about. I also want to let you know that we're going to have a special guest speaker, and that'll be June 8th in the morning at our 10:30 a.m. service and at 6:30 p.m., Pastor Clifton Martin. He pastors Better Way Bible Church in Philadelphia, PA. Cliff and I go way back. We were buddies in Bible school. And we partnered together to support a church called Better Way Word of Life just outside of Monrovia, Liberia. Pastor Martin actually planted this church back in 2005. And every month, our congregation and Pastor Martin's congregation, we send money to Liberia to help support the pastor there, whose name is Mentor Yorme. And I'm telling you, that church is having a dramatic impact on the city of Monrovia. They are expanding to a second church in Liberia, and another church is starting right near the Guinea border in Ghana, if I have my facts correct. Amen? All right, if you would, open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll continue where we left off last week, and I want to give you a little bit of background. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writing to the church at Ephesus, which was at the time the largest church in the world. This is also the church where Timothy was the pastor. This is also the church where Mary, the mother of Jesus, worshipped after Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. Notice what it says. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, notice this, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, last week, we looked at some of these words in detail, and we know that the word walk here is the Greek word peripateo, which means to be occupied with something or to live. And the word circumspect is the word akribos, And the word akrobos means something that is done exactly, diligently, or perfectly. So we as believers are exhorted to live exactly, diligently, and perfectly. Don't be a fool, but understand the will of God for your life. If you don't understand God's will for you, according to the Bible, you're living foolishly. We need to understand God's will for us. That's why I call this series Charting Your Course. You need to know where you're going. Now, last week we talked about the importance of wisdom and, most importantly, understanding. In these verses in Ephesians, it says time and time again, "Now you're light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. Christ shall give you light." Well, how does He do that? He does that through His Word. He sent His Word, and it is designed to bring illumination, light. Now, when light comes, there are several things that happen. The most important thing is illumination, so you can see where you're going. But light also gives off heat. And we talked last week about passion. You know, heat can be compared to passion or emotion. And thank God for being emotional. You know, I'm a pretty emotional guy. I may not show it all the time. But man, I'm telling you, you can't live your lives by emotion. And the thing that distresses me so much is to hear preachers who constantly teach their people that if you just shout long enough, if you shout loud enough, that God will bless you. You know, there's an old expression in some churches, you know, hey, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Man, I'm all for praising God. I'm all for worship. We do it every time we get together in a church service. But worship and praise and emotion is not how you walk and fulfill God's will for your life. Thank God for passion and emotion. But so many preachers just, you know, teach their people, well, you know, you need to shout. Shout your blessings through. Shout. Well, you know, there's more to it than that. You need to understand godly principles. You need to understand the Word. Man, you can shout till the cows come home. If you don't know how to live by faith, you're not going to fulfill God's will for your life. It's important that we understand what God's Word says. Have illumination. You know, people always use the example of when Israel walked around Jericho. And, you know, I truly believe that the Old Testament is the pattern for the Christian life. But they did more than just shout. Yeah, they shouted on day 7 after they followed God's instructions for 7 days. They had very specific instructions that they were to follow on day 1, on day 2, on day 3, on day 4, on day 5, on day 6. And then on day 7, they had to walk around that place 7 times. Only after they followed the instructions or walked in the light of the Word that was given to them did they have occasion to shout. And when they shouted, brother, those walls fell down flat. That doesn't mean that they toppled over. That means the ground opened up and they dropped down in like an elevator going down into a shaft. And they walked right up into Jericho. The interesting thing is, if you go to Jericho today, that city's still here. Archaeologists have found that the city walls that once existed didn't fall over. They fell down into the earth. Man, I'm telling you, which it's exciting when you match archaeology with biblical truth and you find out how much the Word tells us exactly what happened in many instances. But even in that circumstance, Israel did not just shout. They shouted after they followed instruction and walked in the light of what they had. God's Word came to them and they did it. They did it for 7 days and then they shouted. And for preachers to tell you that, you know, all you have to do if you want to be blessed is just shout, just praise God and everything will be all right. I got news for you. That's not the truth, man. You can shout. Everything's not going to be all right until you put into practice what God's Word teaches. All right, I'll get off my hobby horse here for a moment. Okay. Now, last week we looked at several verses in Proverbs that talked about the importance of wisdom, the importance of understanding. And if you would, go with me now to Matthew chapter 13. This is where we left off last week. Matthew chapter 13. And I just want to emphasize this point about understanding, how important it is that you understand the Word, that you understand biblical truth. If you don't understand the Word, you won't walk in it. If you don't understand the Word, you will not practice it. You might go through some kind of ritual or religious form, but until you're walking in the light of the Word, man, I'm telling you what, you don't know what living is until you walk these principles out. Jesus taught this parable in Matthew chapter 13. I'll begin again with verse 1. Notice what it says. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, a little further along, in verse 18, Jesus explains this parable because his disciples came to him, and in essence, this is my paraphrase, they said, Jesus, that was great, man. What in the world were you talking about? So he explains it in verse 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and notice this, and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It's very important that we understand the Word. If we don't understand the Word, then we give Satan an opportunity to take that Word out of our heart, and it will never produce what it was intended to produce. That's why understanding is so important. We left off last week with Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah said, By the Holy Spirit, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is the job of a pastor, to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Many people have thought that the job of a pastor was to, you know, get you to shout on Sunday morning. Well, nothing wrong with shouting, as I said earlier, but there's more to it than that. The job of a pastor is to lead and feed you with knowledge and understanding. I apologize, I had to sneeze there, so I had to take a break away from the microphone. All right, now, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I want to expound on this principle briefly about understanding God's Word. And this is the same parable that Jesus taught. But in Mark chapter 4, you'll gain some more insight. Notice what he says. Mark 4, we'll begin with verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately. Matthew recorded it like this. Then comes the wicked one. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, we know he was able to get it out of their hearts because they didn't understand it. Verse 16, And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, notice this, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, this will give you some insight and help you to understand why trouble comes. Many times trouble comes, not because you're a bad person. Many times trouble comes, not because it's your lot in life, Many times trouble comes not because of the color of your skin or your ethnic background. Trouble comes many times to stop the word from producing in your life. And what the enemy's objective is to get you distracted so that that word doesn't have a chance to take root and grow and develop in you. You become so caught up with your trouble and your persecution and how people are treating you and what you're going through that you never focus on God's word and it never grows and develops in your life. As I said last week, I am not a tribulation theologian. I know better than that. Trouble does not come to make you strong. I don't care who sang it in a song, it ain't so. Trouble does not come to make you strong. I mean, sometimes we grasp these religious tradition and old wives' fables without thinking them through in the light of what the Bible teaches. Jesus, the master theologian, the master teacher, said persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake. Why? So it doesn't have a chance to grow and develop in your life. Persecution and affliction does not come to strengthen you. Persecution and affliction do not come to bring you to a place of maturity. That is what the Word of God will do. That is what the Holy Spirit will do if you'll be diligent about it. Now think about this. Trouble only comes to make us strong. Do you know that for the most part that is an American doctrine? Americans teach that stuff. They don't teach this stuff in many other parts of the world. Because in many other parts of the world, they realize that trouble does not come to make them strong. If you lived back in Rwanda in the 90s, you wouldn't be believing that mess, that trouble comes to make you strong. No, trouble comes to take you out. You know, the Israelis understood this during the Nazi occupation of Europe. The death camps and the Nazis' attempt to exterminate the Jews did not come to make them strong. Adolf Hitler's objective was to eliminate the Jewish people. Adolf Hitler did not come to strengthen anybody. He came to wipe them out. That's why Adolf is in hell today. Thank God that he wasn't able to accomplish his purpose. He was inspired by the devil. That wasn't God. He was inspired by the devil. And thank God the Israelis have the resolve today that they won't ever let it happen again. Amen. Trouble does not come to make you strong. If that were the case, all the people who died in the killing fields under Pol Pot's regime would be spiritual giants. But many of them are not. They're dead. Trouble does not come to make you strong. The enemy brings trouble your way many times to take you out of here. We've got to stop thinking and looking at things through traditional glasses and start believing what the Bible says. All right, if you would, let's get back to the lesson. I'll get off my hobby horse here. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at one verse in the 12th chapter of Romans. See, I get heated up, passionate when I talk about stuff like this because, man, I see too many people believe this garbage and they go down the tubes. The devil beats their brains out and they think it's God trying to bring them strength. Man, you got to wake up. Romans chapter 2. Notice what Romans chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Notice what it says. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order for you to successfully chart your course and fulfill God's purpose for your life, it is necessary that you renew your mind. Renew your mind by the Word. That's how you're transformed. The word transformed here is a Greek word metamorpho, and it literally means to be transformed, like we all know, a caterpillar to a butterfly. It is a dramatic change. The only way that change comes is by the Word. If you're going to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you've got to renew your mind with the Word of God. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to see something here. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says something that's very, very important. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And there again, some of these verses are very familiar to many of us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, for which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
True.
Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto or for good works, which God has before ordained or established that we should walk in them. What this literally means is that God has created each and every one of us for a divine purpose. And that word workmanship denotes something that is of very high quality. And it talks about something that has been crafted by a master craftsman. We're not talking about something that's been thrown together at the last minute in a very shoddy fashion. No, this is like the maker of a Stradivarius violin. I mean, a lot of craftsmanship and work and intricate detail goes into every Stradivarius. That's why they are so expensive. The same thing is true when it comes to your life. You are God's workmanship. He is the master craftsman, and he has placed a divine purpose in your life and crafted you with loving care and intricate detail so that you could fulfill that which he has ordained or appointed for you to walk in. We are his workmanship. Now, in order for us to fulfill God's plan for our lives, to live out that divine purpose, we've got to have some wisdom. We've got to have some understanding. It is the will of God that you understand his role for your life. Now, let me give you some more scripture for this. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We all have a divine purpose. We've got to spend the time in the Word of God so that we can come to a point of understanding and fulfillment of that divine purpose. If you never spend time in the Word, you'll never fulfill God's will for your life. You'll never make it. You will miss it every time. Now, notice 1 Timothy chapter 2. And here, Paul, writing to Timothy, begins talking about prayer and the importance of it, but there's something in here that I want you to understand. He says, verse 2, let me go back to verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority or eminent place, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, that's the will of God for you, that you live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It is not the will of God for you to live your life from crisis to crisis, turmoil to turmoil. You know, there's an expression in the New Testament that says we grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory. It doesn't say from mess to glory, but from glory to glory. But it is the will of God that we pray for all men. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, notice this, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, most of us understand that it's the will of God that all men be saved or come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, make him the Lord of their life. But I want you to see also that it is also the will of God that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. It's important that we not only have a relationship with Jesus, but know something. We've got to come to the knowledge of the truth. Obviously, that refers to who Jesus is and his redemptive work. But also, we need to know and understand God's will and purpose for our lives. There are many people, and I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about Christian people, who have no idea what the will of God is for them. And the crazy thing is, it's not that hard to understand it. It's revealed in the book. All you have to do is spend time meditating on God's Word, and He will begin to paint on the canvas of your heart a masterpiece. That masterpiece is God's design for your life. And it's a fabulous thing. I often tell people when they come to Christ, I encourage them that, hey, this journey with Jesus is the most exciting thing you'll ever experience on the planet. But you've got to spend time in the Word so that you have the knowledge and understanding to live that thing out, to walk that thing out. Now, remember where we began in Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspectly. That simply means that we need to live our lives in such a way that we live exactly, diligently, perfectly. That'll only happen as you understand God's will for you, as you understand that grand design and plan that He has for you. Well, my time's about gone, so we'll continue this lesson next week. I hope you enjoy it. And we'll talk about how to understand the will of God and how God's will is revealed. It's not that hard to figure out. Honestly, it's pretty simple. But God's will is revealed by His Word. Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast today. And I've enjoyed it today, and I've done things a little differently this week with the last two sessions because my wife's been in the studio with me, and I appreciate her being quiet while I'm on the radio. But anyway, my wife Peggy's such a blessing. Hi. We just, yeah. Now you want to make some noise. We just celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary, and she is the love of my life and a sweetheart. But I'm glad she had a chance to sit in with me at our studio as we go through the radio broadcast and teach these lessons. I love doing this stuff, teaching these lessons. Hey, I want to encourage you this morning. Get up and go to church. Find a good church that teaches and preaches the Word. And, man, just go soak it up. If you haven't been to church in a while, that's okay. God still loves you. But find a place that does more than just give you a dose of emotion this morning. You need more than that. If you're going to live successfully for the kingdom of God, you need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Find a good Bible teaching, preaching church. Get behind it. Support it. If you're able to get involved and help them, roll up your sleeves and get to work. You will grow tremendously, and it'll help you fulfill God's will for you. Hey, our time is gone. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.